John Adams said, there are two ways to enslave a nation. One is by arms, the other is by debt. There's a gentleman from California, from the greater Los Angeles area, named Mark Reed, and he is very opposed to the way our government has been racking up recklessly quite a bit of a debt. Now, let me tell you about this man. His name is Mark Reed, R-E-E-D. He's a national representative for American Indians, advocate for constitutional government, a successful actor, served on the board of directors of the Screen Actors Guild, the Finance Committee, was the first member at large to testify in front of the FCC on behalf of the Screen Actors Guild, a national representative for American Indians for 15 years. He's a descendant of the Mohawk and Apache American Indians. He's also a small businessman and a rancher. And Mark, it's great to have you on the program. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and thank you for joining us, Mark.
Jerry, thank you very much for having me on your radio show.
Okay, now
we have so.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask if you sleep.
Do I sleep?
No. Yeah. I mean, in light of this, this resume is pretty sharp. There, you're doing a lot of things here.
Well, my most, how would you say, the thing that I'm most proud of is I met my wife when I was 11 years old. I gave her a promise ring at 16 years old. We married at 21. Hmm. We have three adult children. We have 10 grandchildren. And we have successfully made it to 42 years of marriage and still counting. So
that's great.
I think when you have the right woman behind you, a man can do anything.
I agree with you. And by the way, I have the best one, but you have the second best wife. Okay. All right. So
there we go.
You said that when you were running for Congress, one of the earlier times, you said, I have 14 important reasons for caring what happens in Congress, my wife, my three children, and my 10 grandchildren. What is at stake for your children and your grandchildren and your wife?
Well, we're looking at a national debt crisis right now, which I think is one of the most important things that needs to be focused on. It isn't spoken about very much at all. And our national debt, when I first ran in 2010, was $10 trillion less than it is now. And I thought it was important then. It's becoming catastrophic. And, you know, you hear everybody talk about the tariffs that are being levied on China. We're bringing in $200-300 billion. Where's that money going? Is it going to pay our debt down? Or is it just going to spend on more projects? What is our government doing for the future of our grandchildren and their indebtedness at this point?
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes the eyes glaze over when you hear things like, you know, $1 trillion in debt or $10 trillion, $20 trillion, et cetera. But listen to this analogy that somebody once came up with. If I borrowed $100 from you and I said, I will pay you back in 1 million seconds, that would equal 10 days. If I said, I will pay you back in 1 billion seconds, that would be 32 years. And if I said, I'll pay you back in 1 trillion seconds, that would be 32,000 years. So 10 days for 1 million, 32 years for 1 billion, and 32,000 years for 1 trillion. So 1 trillion is just huge. I mean, it's catastrophic. It's beyond the mind's, you know, ability to grasp how huge this debt is. You're right.
Yeah, when you start hearing numbers, people's eyes gloss over.
They do.
Let's use another analogy. What if somebody said, I'm going to borrow $100 from you, and tomorrow I'm going to come back and borrow another $100, and next day I'm going to come back and borrow another $100, and they keep doing this, and you ask them, well, when are you going to pay me back? And they say, never.
Duh.
Would you loan them the money?
No. No.
Why are we continuing to elect the same kind of politicians that sit there and borrow money from us with no intent of paying it back?
Now, you've been a small businessman for quite a while. Have you found the government amenable to you, or even, you know, almost a burden for you, or, you know, getting in your way for your small business success?
government has a proper place in the business arena to assure equal opportunity and fair business practices. However, I have found that the only thing that gets in the way of successful small business owners is the government itself, with its overburden of taxes and regulations and so forth. And, you know, you're over on the East Coast, I'm here on the West Coast, and I'm in the communist state of California, which is the worst business, you know, atmosphere in the country. And even though California is the second largest economy in the world, it is not very friendly to small business owners. It is the biggest disparage between income inequality that you've ever seen, but yet it's run completely by Democrats. And this is where you will see the exact hypocrisy of what the Democrats preach. They're not for the small people. They're not for the small business owner. They're not for the average blue-collar worker. They're for the rich and the elite, and that's all they're interested in, is the rich and the elite. They do not want to give somebody a helping hand up. They want to keep the boot on the throat of the economy and prevent people from stepping up, and they want to give them welfare and crumbs.
Wow. Tell me a little bit about your own experience, your background and so forth, as a, you know, a descendant of Native Americans.
Well, my background specifically in that, or just my personal background?
Yes, both.
Both. Well, my personal background is, you know, I grew up here in the Los Angeles area in a family of 11. My mother and father successfully reached 72 years of marriage before they passed away. So they were a great example to us.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when I decided to get married, I was very ambitious, and, you know, I was in business management. And so at 26 years old, I bought out my first company. I opened a retail store at 27 years old.
Wow.
I sold both of those at 31, started another company. So I've always enjoyed being an entrepreneur, you know, starting things up and going forward. And then becoming the national rep for American Indians, you know, we dealt primarily with the government-to-government relations and media interpretation of our community at large. So I successfully sat on the Screen Actors Guild Board of Directors, moved over to KCET Board of Directors. They recruited me. So I've been very successful in community work in that regards, which led me into another arena of media, which was the vertical integration and consolidation of media. And that's the biggest problem we have right now. One of the biggest public threats we have, and it's something I agree with President Trump on, is our news media broadcast. It is the most dangerous thing that we have, because it's all opinionated news and commentary on the issues that we're facing today. Very shy and manipulative of the facts that are involved. And I can't really talk to anybody anymore who is not disgusted with and sick and tired of hearing about these investigations on the president. And how many, I'll ask you, Jerry, how many investigations from Congress that you know of have ever led to any kind of a conviction?
I don't know. But the
zero.
And the crazy thing about it is, it seems that the ones who should be investigated are those who use the organs of government power in order to basically spy on a candidate. I mean, this is outrageous. And yet, you know, it's almost like it's like the old anecdote about a janitor found the minister's notes on Monday morning, and in the margin it said, "Argument weak, pound pulpit here." You know, it's sort of like projection. You know, kind of like, well, let's get their eyes off of the what really caused all this in the first place, and we'll divert it to this other issue.
Well, it goes even deeper than that, and into the individual representatives. And there was a news report that was just put out there, very buried. Elijah Cummings is married to a young woman decades younger than himself. He was heavily in debt 10 years ago. His new wife starts up a couple of nonprofit organizations and a in a consulting company and through government contracts that Elijah Cummings' committees oversee, all of a sudden now he's flush with money and is no longer massively in debt, and undue influence in the congressional committees that he has, favoring the people who are donating money to his organizations and or hiring his company, his wife's company, for consulting. This is where the corruption is involved. Are these representatives, the individual representatives, actually doing the work for the people or working for themselves to become rich? The individual that I'm running up against was worth maybe $700,000 when he started in Congress. Now, 22 years later, he's a multimillionaire. I would love to know how he did that on $172,000 a year on a W-2 form, which means you get to about
$130,000. I don't know how that works.
Either the guy's a genius or he's a criminal.
Yeah, wow. No, that's crazy.
I don't think he's a genius.
Yeah. Well, all right, going back to the Indian side of things, sometimes when we see, I think of that example, you know, the unfortunate example of a couple months ago with the Covington kids, the students, and so forth.
Oh, that was horrible.
Yeah, there are certainly some liberal American Indian figures that we see out there prominently. Obviously, there are other people like you as well.
Well, the American Indians, most like a lot of the ethnic groups, are led into the party of the Democrats because they want federal handouts. And they have been suppressed by the government to the point where they think that the government is going to be their savior. The incident that happened with that particular American Indian, which is a horrible representative of an American Indian. The guy claims that he was a Vietnam veteran, never stepped foot in Vietnam. The guy was just a flat-out liar, but coupled to that was what we were just talking about, was the complete lies and the prejudice of the media going after somebody only because the kid was wearing a Make America Great Again hat. The kid never said a word, never did anything, and I hope he prevails in his lawsuits against both media outlets that he's going after. But as pertaining to American Indians, they've had a rough road. I mean, a very rough road from the very beginning of the very first white man stepping foot onto the northern North American continent. To this day, we're very misunderstood and a misunderstood people struggling to still figure it out. I feel like the Seminole Nation that bought out the Hard Rock Cafe. They have a footprint in 42 different countries now, and they made the brash comment that they're going to buy Manhattan back one hamburger at a time.
Well, that's excellent.
You know, they,
sure.
Yeah, we don't ever hear about the tribes that are very, very successful in their efforts anymore. We hear about Pine Ridge and the ones that are really broke, or you hear about the corrupt, because that's all media focuses on anymore, is really the negative of society. Do you ever hear media focus on the positive sides of society? No.
No. Good point. All right. Well, we're basically out of time. Thank you so much for visiting with us. Mark Reed for Congress.com is your website, and I should point out this is an off year as far as election. Mark, great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.